Rich, thank you so much for coming back on to the Quiddity Title Splitting Property Education Podcast. We're now on season 4. So you came on season 1.
Yes.
So welcome back.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You are the resident broker of ours. So we love you very much.
Today
we're going to talk a lot about financing as usual, but more importantly, specifically talking about bridging finance, title splitting, and how you have been helping us and our mentees basically exponentially increase their purchasing by using clever bridging products. And we're going to go through a few case studies so that we can then put numbers to projects. And then people can see the photos of these projects and what the buildings look like as well.
Absolutely.
So
that's good.
We are going to get started with currently right now where there's a lot of mixed purchasing options. You can buy with bridge, mortgages, commercial. What is it that you recommend clients nowadays? You know, we come to you, or my mentees come to you with a block of 8 flats. What's your go-to? What do you think about when it comes to financing these?
I mean, no case is the same.
Yeah.
Every single property, every single client, every single set of circumstances is different. So I'll always assess a deal on its individual merits.
Yeah.
And just look at what the buyer is trying to achieve. You know, if you're buying a block, you're getting it below market value, you want to split the title, do some work, and then refinance at a higher value.
Yep.
It makes sense to use a bridging product that is designed to do that. So that tends to be the go-to, because that tends to be the blocks that are coming my way and the introductions that are coming my way.
Yes.
There are other people who have different strategies. They might have a block that requires no work, that it's already let out, they want to take their time.
Yes.
In that case, you can put a buy-to-let product in place. Absolutely fine. We leave it. And when they're ready to do that title split, great. But let's be honest, most people are here to try and upscale as quickly as they can, to try and make the money back.
Yep.
And the quickest and easiest way to do that is to buy a bridge on entry, get that work done, and then we'll refinance once we put it onto individual buy-to-let mortgages.
And I think, as you say, you know, myself included here and the mentees that I coach, we are always in and out. We're trying to be 6, 7, 8 months. We're in and out and get our money back out. So taking a normal mortgage, yes, it works. There is a product out there, but the challenge is you're probably taking a longer time to do the title split. You have then early repayment charges.
Absolutely.
In your opinion, I know there's a big thing about bridge, and we're going to talk about my own personal view of bridge, and you're going to start laughing at me. But but bridging finance is considered to be more expensive because of the nature of the risk that people are taking, but also more importantly about the ancillary costs that are added to bridging finance. But when I then contrast it with take a 2-year fixed mortgage that we're going to come out a year later, so there's early repayment charges and everything else. In your opinion, and again, it's not exact science here, how much savings are we getting just by taking a mortgage rather than a bridge?
If you're taking a mortgage and your intention is to exit that within the early repayment charge period, then it's rarely cost effective to do that. It is cheaper in the long run to take a bridging product and then refinance afterwards. Because we're talking, I mean, two year money as of now isn't the cheapest.
Yeah.
Lenders want arrangement fees because they want to make sure that they get their return on investment, and then they'll charge an early repayment. So with that arrangement and that early repayment charge, you might be looking at 5-6% of the loan.
Wow.
You know, and if you've got a 4.5-5% interest rate as well,
or
even 4%, we're already up at 10% in costs over 12 months.
Yes.
Compare that to some bridging products that are currently anywhere between 8 and 9% a year with no early repayment charges, no exit charges. There's not a huge amount of difference there.
Yes.
Plus, the key thing with a bridge isn't always the cost. You know, it's being able to have a product that does what you need it to do quickly to enable you to then refinance, take your money out and go again.
Yes.
You know, and that's the thing. Although cost is a consideration, it's never the driving factor. And even when we're comparing bridging products, you know, it's what's going to do what we need it to do in the time that we've got to give us the amount that we need.
Yes.
You know, and that's what we look at with your blocks and mentees as well.
And I think that is so true, because it is, you know, and you hear me say this, and I coach people around this. It's not the 1% extra that a bridger A is charging versus B. It's the speed, mm-hmm. the hassle-free aspect of there sometimes is what I would always go for, rather than the £1,000 savings that I will make for the next 6 months or so. But it's taken me 6 months to get the actual product from somebody else. So I completely agree. And I think the honest truth to say here, as a recorded thing, where Richard's been telling me for the last decade, you know, use Bridge is the way. And I've always, maybe now 15 years, maybe 10, 15 years, I've always said, no, it's too expensive, too scary. I tried one and it didn't go bad, but I was okay with it. I think it's safe to say that I'm probably more of an evangelist when it comes to bridging finance, specifically to title splitting now. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I remember the first time we even discussed a bridge and the first time you took one.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't go above 50% loan to value.
I remember that. Rochester.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
You wanted to be off it as quickly as possible.
Yes.
And I think in that case, you didn't even wait for the refinance to go through. You found another way of raising the money to be able to repay the bridge.
To repay the bridge.
Early. Yeah. And I think that experience put you off to the point where you didn't take another one for about 8 years.
Yeah.
You know,
but I have to say that it wasn't a bad experience. Nothing went wrong.
No, it was just
I think
your
I was
own,
my own. And own I think concern. People listening here, you know, I hear that a lot. People say, oh, God, bridge. No, I'm too scared of bridge. Because what happens is people hear of bad bridging.
Yeah.
They never hear about all the good elements of when people have used. Bridging finance is just in the mechanism of helping you to buy something, right?
Absolutely.
It's not a... But typically, and including myself, and I'd never met anybody who'd had a bad bridging experience. But inherently, I'd kind of heard that there were some things that went wrong. People lost their houses or lost their properties. Yeah. And that's why I'm really big on saying, look, you've got to understand where this has come from. Because unless you knew when it happened, who did it, mm-hmm. and what it happened, it's a lot of kind of fear more than anything else.
I think you make a good point that it's the unknown. You know, it's the fact that you hadn't, as you said, you hadn't come across anyone who'd had a bad bridging experience.
No.
But you also hadn't come across anyone who'd had a good bridging experience. Correct. It's that unknown.
Yes.
And you've got one guy
sitting
there in front of you saying, bridging's fine. Yeah. You should take a bridge.
Yes.
You needed a you at that point. You needed an Azid going...
To handhold.
You know what? This is fine. Yeah. I've done it myself.
Yeah.
And at that point, I also hadn't taken a bridging loan personally.
Yes.
Now I'm half a dozen deep, and have had experience from your side of the table as well.
Yes.
So I think that all helps. Just talk through the pros, the cons, the pitfalls.
Yeah.
You know, and they are generally positive experiences.
And I think that matters a lot when it comes to mentees coming to us, because they're getting 25, 30, 40 years worth of experience on the strategy, the financing, and it makes a huge difference to people.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now let's start talking about some cases so that people can learn how things are financed. So let's talk, just take one, Yewtree Farm.
Yes.
One I'm buying at the moment, block of 8 flats. Purchase price was around 750. I negotiated it down to about 685 now. We've got it. Mm-hmm. It's a piece of building with 8 flats, but a piece of land that we're going to carve out separately to build something on in the future. So talk me through the process of how you finance something like this for me.
Okay, so this was an example where you were happy to use bridging finance because you knew that there was some light refurbishment needed to all of the units. So we were looking at bridging. You also, because you've got a number of projects at the moment and you wanted to try and spread your deposit between them, you wanted to look at an option where you could borrow against the open market value of the block with the title split.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a few lenders out there who will do that.
Yeah.
And if the numbers work, they can go up to 100% of the purchase price. With this one, we went through, we had the valuation carried out.
Mm-hmm.
It came back at around about 800,000.
Yep.
So the lender's then happy to offer 75% of that. Mm-hmm. So this is value today,
yep.
but on 8 individual leases.
Yes. With no works done.
With no works done.
Yes.
So as it is, they've looked at it and they've gone, yeah, those are, that's for argument's sake, you've got eight flats. They're each worth £100,000 now.
Correct.
You do work to those.
Yeah.
They'll each be worth £150,000.
Yes.
Yeah. But correct. Now they're worth 800.
Yeah.
So the lender will give you 75% of that.
Yes.
It's a tenanted block, so they're happy for you to service or pay that debt monthly.
And these are kind of important things just to kind of pause you here. So
absolutely.
One thing, 685, so six, round it up. So 700 grand purchase, we're going to now get 75% of 800. So it's about 560,000. So really, I'm getting almost, I'm putting down almost around 130,000 pounds worth of deposit when I should have been paying about 190,000 pounds of deposit. So straight away, my capital allocation to that building has reduced significantly, almost by 50K on deposit. Second, you talk about service. So if people are listening here thinking, well, how does that work, the bridging thing? Do I have to deduct all the interest at the front or get less money down? Or in my case, I'm choosing to service the debt. So let's say the debt's going to cost me £4,000 a month. The rent coming in is, let's say, £4,000 a month. So I'm using the rent that's coming in to pay for the bridging finance monthly. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, I'm allowed to borrow a bit more money than otherwise I would have had to.
Yes. Yeah. So one of the key things is that bridging lenders know that with a lot of these properties, they're not going to be income producing until you finish the work.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, to keep it easier, to make it a little bit more straightforward for people who don't have large incomes, don't have large background portfolios to actually borrow the money, they will take the interest for, if you take a 12-month term,
yeah,
take all the 12 months interest off the loan up front. And there are two different ways that they will calculate the cost of that, but that's not for now. That's for a much more boring conversation that I have with people later.
Yeah.
Or if the place is income generating, then you can use that money to service it.
Yeah.
That means your net loan is 73% and a bit of that open market value. So if we use these figures, keep it easy.
Yeah, yeah.
800,000 current value.
Yeah.
Gross loan 600.
Yeah.
Net loan somewhere in the region of 588.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a 685 purchase price. It's like £97,000 deposit.
Yeah, amazing.
Which is pretty good.
Which is when you're thinking about 100 grand deposit to buy 700 grand property that's yielding 50K of rent. That's how using bridging finance through very competent commercial brokers, like I've been saying over the seasons, over the series, it is not just the lawyer, it's not just the broker, it's not just the tax advisor. It's the right broker, the right tax advisor, the right lawyers who understand the strategy that can help you with it.
Mm-hmm.
So with this, just to wrap up, Yew Tree Farm, we're buying at say 685. We're going to be lent somewhere around something like 560s, let's say. So we're putting down 120 grand or something like that. By the time we finish it, the GDV after the refurb is going to be a 1.1 million.
Yeah.
So on entry, we're already making something like 400 grand of uplift. Let's say we spend 100 grand worth of development.
Mm-hmm.
So we're making £300,000 of uplift. And that's the bit that I'm going to use to refinance. And then that 300 grand is going to be my deposit. I take all my money back out and I leave 50K worth of income generation on interest only. That then gives me, let's say, 30K worth of per year of profit, which is about 2.5 grand. So take all my money out, pay the bridge off, and I still make £2,500 a month, and I've got that land that I can develop as well. So using Bridge, using people like Rich, it makes so much difference in terms of how you finance these buildings. And I didn't understand just how important it was until we started to do more and more of it.
Yep. And that's the thing. If you want to upscale, you have to sometimes consider these strategies that enable you to spread that deposit between the two fantastic projects that have just been presented to you.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And it's
us now.
if you've just got one and you're just looking to borrow against the purchase price, fine. We can go for the absolute cheapest option.
Yeah.
You know, we get a valuer to go out and all is good.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the other case studies that you're going to look at is one where that wasn't so possible. So
which one is that one we're going to talk about now?
It was one of your auction purchases.
Okay.
I know that was on the list.
The hillside one we're talking about? Or
I don't know, actually. Actually, just...
Okay.
Which one do you want to go
Well, let's talk about the next one. What we're doing right now is, again, this one I want to talk about why we get 90% of purchase price, which is Albemarle. So
yes, okay.
Can you walk us through, because just to kind of get through, for 2 minutes, walk us through purchase price, how did it work, and how are we getting 90% of lending on that building?
Okay, so that one, purchase price is 600,000.
Correct.
Yep.
No, it's 600,000.
Yes.
Yeah. 680 is the purchase price.
Okay.
And we've got lent now 600,000.
Yeah.
Because the value has come in and said, yeah, it's worth 800,000.
Yep.
And it will get in 600,000 as a lent money. The next case study we want to talk about is Albemarle.
Yes.
Funny enough, you know, can you walk us through how you finance this? The purchase price was 600,000.
Yep.
For 8 flats.
Yes.
On entry. Very light refurb. And this is something that I went to see. I was like, right, I love it. Definitely, I love it. And I was buying something else from that seller and I was able to get the discount because I'm buying 2 blocks from them. Walk me through when I came to you and said, Rich, can we get this finance? What were the process that people need to know happens when they come to financing buildings like this?
So as you know, and you're an expert at this, in terms of the information that you need to provide, it's a little bit different than if you were just buying a 3-bed house in somewhere in Kent.
Yes.
You know, needs a little bit of work.
Yes.
You know, we need the purchase price. I then need the individual flat value in current condition, cost of any works, and what you expect them to be worth at the end.
Yes.
Now, Albemarle's a little bit different because the value in current condition of those flats and the end value is the same.
Yes.
Because although you will go in and do a light touch up, it's not going to add anything to the value.
No.
So your purchase price was 600.
Yeah.
We knew that we could go to a bridging lender that would allow you to split the title simultaneous with completion.
Mm-hmm.
So purchasing it through freehold company, granting leases to your main company, and the lender then takes their charge over those 8 individual leasehold flats.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm talking with my hands.
Yeah.
knocking the furniture around. So we went to a lender that was happy with that. They sent their valuer out, and the valuer said, yeah, absolutely, worth £750,000 with the benefit of 8 long leases now. So we can then get 75% of that.
Yeah.
Which is just working about, back, quick maths.
Yeah. About 560.
Yeah.
Something
we'll go
with
that.
In that region. So we're buying a building of 8 flats for something around 50 grand worth of deposit.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculously amazing.
And it's tenanted. So, we can produce the income to service the debt.
That. So that's how we get the maximum loan.
Absolutely.
So the take-home message on case number 2 is you can get, you know, in this case, up to 90% of the purchase price, buying the right thing, doing the right split on entry with them, using the right financing product that we've got access to as part of Quiddity Property Education, 2 mentees, you can get access to that.
Absolutely.
And the final one I want to go through is I want people to understand that sometimes we've got equity lying around, right? In different projects, different buildings, different portfolios, own homes. I want you to walk through how we financed the purchase in Westgate, which is a block of 6 flats at £1 million that I bought. But we bridged against an unencumbered property that I had, which was a block of 6 flats already worth $1.2 million by the time I'd kind of done the works on it.
Yep.
So can you walk through how we did that?
I think a key thing in there is Westgate was auction as well.
Correct.
So we had tight times to work within.
That's
correct. So one of the benefits of using an existing unencumbered asset is that there are no challenges around getting access. You know, if someone's using their own home or a buy-to-let property that they've got, it's relatively straightforward. But if we're talking a block of 6 flats, or you're buying another block of 6, physically getting someone to go in and be able to view that property, walk around, have access to every single one of those flats and every room within the flat within 20 working days is a challenge.
Yes.
And it's one of the things that we do try and avoid when we're looking at bridging for blocks in an auction timescale.
Yep.
So we were able to use a lender that would take this unencumbered asset that you had, have a desktop valuation. So they still go out to a RIC surveyor who will provide a long form valuation report.
So they don't physically go there?
But they don't physically go to the property.
Well, so, I didn't even know that at that time. I didn't realize somebody would lend you money, 400 grand worth of money, with that physically going there.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. So they're looking at everything that a valuer would without stepping inside.
Yes.
So they'll do it based on photo evidence.
Yeah, we had to supply all of that. Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
Things like that.
Yeah.
And then we did the same for the property you were buying.
Yeah.
So the lender was able to look at these and go, right, you've got £2.2 million worth of assets here.
Yeah.
And you need to raise £1 million to cover the purchase price.
Yes.
It's a no-brainer. It's less than 50% loan to value.
Yes.
Happy day. But then we were looking at tweaking it in terms of how we wanted them to structure the debt. And I've worked with them enough that they were happy to do that. So we put 65-70% against the new purchase.
Yes.
The remainder against the place you were looking to refinance. Hillside. So that once when we refinance that block first.
Yeah.
You can then pull the extra money out, pay that lower bridge off, pull the extra money out, use that as the deposit for the other 23 properties that you're probably looking to buy at that time.
But I think that was the almost the first time that I'd realized, now, hang on a minute, I've got all of these unencumbered things. You know what? So here's a message for people. You know, you've got properties in the background that have got, say, less than 50% loan to value. You can tap into that without having to sell anything, without having to refinance. That's the big thing. Say, oh, I'm going to have to refinance my house or this property before I get the money out. You don't have to do that. We can bridge against that property.
Absolutely.
Take some of that extra value for 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. Buy the second property, which you will get a mortgage on anyway. So you're only bridging your unencumbered property for the amount of deposit you needed, basically, what I ended up doing.
Absolutely.
And that has now added an extra bow to how we buy, right? Mm-hmm. So we're using a lot of the non-unencumbered property to bridge against to then buy future properties.
Yes.
So for me, I think Richard, without a doubt, has been and is one of the most important part of my team, and actually I consider him as part of an internal team, because he's pivotal in how we not only buy the properties but how we finance it, how we exit it, and as much as we do a lot of work together, we are good friends as well, which Absolutely. Is always a very good thing. But listen, thank you as always for all your help, not just today but with me and my businesses, as well as mentees as well. Without you, we would not be in the place or the shape that we're in. So thank you.
Very welcome. Thank
you. And no doubt, we'll see you on the 19th of November.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.